If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
This episode is brought in part to you by Audible, your go-to destination for thrilling audio entertainment. Whether you're looking for a hair-raising experience to enjoy while you're on the move or eager to dive into sinister and shocking tales, Audible has an exclusive collection of thrillers from best-selling authors that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Like James Patterson's first audio-only thriller, The Coldest Case. Experience stories like never before, where every chilling detail is brought to life by captivating sound design. Plus, as an Audible member, choose one title a month to make yours forever. And now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Just visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. Today's show features Seth's conversation with CNN's Jake Tapper, who then chats a little more backstage at Studio 8G just for this podcast. But first, let's hear a closer look.
As his summer of near constant chaos ends, President Trump faces a series of challenges more difficult than any he has dealt with up to this point. So how has he responded? By threatening to deport hundreds of thousands of law-abiding Americans. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. On top of everything else he'll face in the next several months, the budget, the debt limit, North Korea's nuclear program, Trump has had to deal with the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey. And this Labor Day weekend, Trump chipped in with some labor of his own, helping load supplies onto a truck. Though he did it in a way that illustrated how little he knows about loading.
Hey, can you handle this? It's a lot of s*** here.
Yes, sir.
Have a good time.
Thank you, man.
Here you go. Now just drive off with this in your lap.
We should just be happy Trump wasn't in charge of filling the trucks with gas. To be fair to Trump, we don't need elbow grease from our presidents at times of tragedy. We need their inspirational words. But even there, Trump wasn't quite up to the task.
We have had a tremendous group of folks. Our acting director, Elaine, thank you very much for the job you've done. And a man who's really become very famous on television over the last couple of days, Mr. Long.
My hands are too big.
We're here to take care. It's going well. And I want to thank you for coming out. We're going to get you back and operating immediately. Thank you, everybody. What a crowd. What a turnout.
What is wrong with you? You're the president, not a stand-up comic.
What a crowd. What a turnout. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming out tonight. Oh, what? You had to because your house was underwater? That's my time.
I don't want to say that Trump is out of touch with reality, so I'll let him say it.
It's been a wonderful thing. It's as tough as this was, it's been a wonderful thing. I think even for the country to watch and for the world to watch. It's been beautiful. Have a good time, everybody. I'm going to be doing a little help over here.
Have a good time, everybody. You know, it reminds me of newscaster Herbert Morrison and his commentary during the Hindenburg disaster.
Just look at those beautiful flames arching skyward from that airship. Oh, the humanity! The humanity is having the time of their lives! Have a good time, everybody!
And yet, despite his bumbling through stage photo ops, Trump seemed to think highly of his performance after Harvey, so highly that on Friday, he had a group of faith leaders at the White House to declare a national day of prayer and made them take turns praising him.
Yes, Mr. President, please. We want to thank you for your leadership.
We thank you, the Vice President, and your entire team.
Don't be shy. What are you? Since when are you shy?
I'm not shy, Mr. President.
Anybody else?
Anybody else?
How about
Thank you, Mr. President.
Right from the beginning.
Go ahead. Indeed.
Pastor Jeffress?
Yes.
Prayer?
Let's pray together, may we? Father, I thank you that we have a president, President Donald Trump, who believes in the power of prayer. This country has been bitterly divided for decades upon decades, and now you have given us a gift, President Donald Trump.
Far be it from me to criticize God, but he is a terrible gift giver. Did Trump come with a gift receipt? Although I'm sure, by the way, I'm sure God would say, a gift. I sent him as a harbinger of doom. What's wrong with you people? But of course, as quick as he is to praise himself, Trump is even quicker to needlessly attack others, as he did on Saturday when he was praising emergency responders for their heroic work and out of nowhere took this false and gratuitous swipe at the media.
I hear the Coast Guard saved 11,000 people. Think of it, almost 11,000 people by going into winds that the media would not go into. Sure. They will not go into those winds. Unless it's a really good story, in which case they will.
Okay. Of course, the media was on those choppers with the Coast Guard during many of those rescues, which is why you saw those rescues on the news. And you certainly didn't see Trump going into any dangerous winds. Believe me, you would have noticed. And of course, the media did work in exceedingly dangerous conditions, flagging down emergency crews in the rain and literally pulling people out of floodwaters. Meanwhile, the closest Trump has ever come to water is still this.
It's Rubio!
Of course, the Coast Guard and the media weren't the only ones braving dangerous conditions to save lives. There were also countless emergency responders, like Houston area paramedic Jesus Contreras. Contreras is protected from deportation under the Obama-era program known as DACA. He spent six straight days rescuing people from floodwaters in Houston. So how did the president thank him? Well, today, Trump announced that he was rescinding DACA, supposedly with a six-month delay to allow Congress to pass legislation to replace it. Trump's decision throws the lives of nearly 800,000 Americans who were brought here as children and who work here and go to school here into chaos. Now, polls have shown consistently that a large majority of Americans support letting DACA recipients known as Dreamers stay in the country, which may explain why Trump hid behind his attorney general today, letting Jeff Sessions make the announcement. All Trump could muster was a statement supporting the decision and a tweet urging Congress to come up with a solution. Trump tweeted, "Congress, get ready to do your job, DACA." Trump ends every tweet like he's jumping out from behind a door to scare you.
Congress, get ready to do your job, DACA! You just see her face when I said DACA.
To be clear, DACA recipients were brought here as children, have known no other country, pay taxes, have no criminal record, and are as American as anyone else living here. And this will shock you. With this decision today, Trump once again proved himself to be a liar after repeatedly assuring Dreamers that he would take care of them and treat them with heart.
Is there anything you can say to assure them right now that they'll be allowed to stay?
They shouldn't be very worried. They are here illegally. They shouldn't be very worried. I do have a big heart. We're going to take care of everybody.
Should Dreamers be worried?
We love the Dreamers. We love everybody. We're going to show great heart. DACA is a very, very difficult subject for me. I will tell you. To me, it's one of the most difficult subjects I have because you have these incredible kids. The DACA situation is a very, very, it's a very difficult thing for me. Because, you know, I love these kids. I love kids. I have kids.
That's right. I have kids. And I would only deport one of them. Father, no!
In fact, Trump himself apparently didn't even want to make a decision and desperately hoped someone else would solve the problem. According to the New York Times, for months, an anxious and uncertain President Trump was caught between opposing camps in the West Wing. Trump, exasperated, asked his aides for a way out of a dilemma he created by promising to roll back the program as a presidential candidate. Something tells me this isn't the only time Trump has asked his aides for a way out. I just assume he's been carving a tunnel through the wall of the Oval Office under a poster of Rita Hayworth. So a president who backed himself into a corner by catering to the racial resentments of his base is now needlessly throwing the lives of hundreds of thousands of hardworking Americans into chaos, which means it's now up to Congress to do something. Now, many Republicans urged Trump not to end the program, including people like House Speaker Paul Ryan and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. But Trump's relationship with those Republicans is strained. The Wall Street Journal reported yesterday McConnell's relationship with Trump began to fray last month as the GOP effort to repeal Obamacare was falling apart. McConnell often prepared note cards with points he wanted to make during phone calls with the president. Trump was more casual, starting conversations with several minutes of chatter about the day's headlines or what he had seen on TV. As it became clear McConnell couldn't summon enough Republican votes to repeal the Affordable Care Act, the Senate Majority Leader stopped responding to the president's chit-chat. "Mitch," the president said when McConnell fell silent in one call, "are you there?" Incidentally, that's the title of my favorite Judy Blume novel. So Republicans now treat phone calls with the president the way the rest of us treat phone calls with our grandparents. "Hi, Grandma, just keep talking. I'm going to put you on speaker."
Wow, that does sound like a lot of pills.
So you have a president needlessly tormenting hundreds of thousands of hardworking Americans with a cruel and capricious policy that is supported neither by a majority of voters nor leader of his own party. So why do Republicans continue to stand by him? GOP Congressman Duncan Hunter summed up the core ideology of the modern GOP best when he said of Trump on Friday to a group of Republicans, quote, "He's an ass, but he's our ass." Now, I'm not a licensed proctologist, but Congressman, there is something seriously wrong with your ass. This has been A Closer Look. Our guest tonight is CNN's chief Washington correspondent. He hosts The Lead weekday afternoons on CNN, as well as the network Sunday show, State of the Union. Please welcome back to the show our friend Jake Tapper, everybody. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah. I had a vacation, so I'm, like, rested for the first time since November.
Yeah. There hasn't been a lot of rest since November. And now you'll be back on. Now, this is interesting. When you're on vacation, I assume this happens because of what you do for a living and because how inside Washington you are. People must come up to you all the time to get some wisdom from you. What is the most frequently asked question you are getting these days?
The basic theme of it is, are we going to survive?
Okay.
That's the basic.
Is that a nice thing to hear on vacation?
I'm just trying to, like, build a sandcastle with my son.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to be fine, lady. Yeah, but that's basically what people want to know. Are we going to be okay? Are we going to survive this as a nation?
And is there also a sense that people want to know from you as someone who's followed other administrations? Because I do feel like people now are paying more attention to the news maybe than ever before. Do they want to know from you that this is crazy? Like, do they want you to confirm their sense that this is outside the realm of what's conventional?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They want to know that they're not, you know, this, you know, the whole term about being gaslit, where somebody comes in and, like, they convince you that you're crazy when they're the ones being crazy. They want to make sure that, like, it's not normal for a president to make fun of disabled people, right? That's not normal.
Yeah.
Right? Correct.
There you go. And then they walk off down the beach and they go, "Honey, I got good news. We're going to live and we're normal."
I'd never said anything about we're going to live.
So what about today? Is this very much in line with what we should expect from the president? He said he loves the Dreamers. They have nothing to worry about. He takes this action with DACA today. Is this very much normal?
It's normal in the sense that this is part of the policy edge of President Trump, where he maybe doesn't fully understand all the promises that he makes. I really think that's what's going on. I'm not quite sure that he fully comprehends that the 800,000 people that have temporary protections from President Obama's questionable, in terms of its constitutionality, provision, whether he knows that they, A, will, you know, once the program's over, they will be subject to deportation, but also B, and this isn't something that's getting a lot of attention, to become a DACA applicant, you have to actually apply, and you hand over all your personal information, your phone number, your address. And now the government has that. And when the Department of Homeland Security put out their guidance today, they said they wouldn't proactively turn it over to immigration officials, but they would, under certain circumstances, give it if asked. So not only are these people vulnerable, now the government knows where they live.
So they're actually more vulnerable for having gone through the DACA program than they were ahead of time, as far as being able to be detected.
As of right now, potentially, yeah. Absolutely. It's odd.
You, you've been very critical of the president. You've been critical of other presidents, though, as well. And, you know, as you were talking about DACA, you pointed out that there was some questionable constitutionality as to what Barack Obama did. You have become a huge, I think, a lot of people on the left have looked to you to be this voice of reason, but there was a time where they did not care for you.
Starting with President Obama.
Yeah.
I don't expect it's going to last much, you know, once the Chelsea Clinton administration begins.
Yeah.
Or Oprah.
Yeah, they're going to turn. Oh, well, everyone's turning. Once you go after Oprah, I'm turning against you too, buddy.
I've got some stuff against Clooney. He doesn't know what's going to hit him.
But you have had, because of how hard you've been on President Trump, some on the right in the media have been critical of you. Sean Hannity recently asked his viewers to go after you on Twitter as being fake news.
That was so weird. Yeah. So I was at home. My wife and my kids were away. And I was just, you know, as one does, just...
And before she left, was she like, don't get in a media feud. We're going to leave you alone. Don't get in a Twitter war.
That's constantly what she says that to me every hour of the day, just to make sure I don't... And so anyway, I'm just reading Twitter before I go to bed, and, oh, my God, Sean Hannity has apparently told his viewers, not just his Twitter followers, but his viewers, to go on to Twitter and tell me what they think of me.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, my God. This is, you know, I should just put it away. But it ended up being completely different than what I thought it was going to be.
People were very positive.
It was like 1,000 to 1. It was all these tweets like, Jake Tapper, Sean Hannity wants me to tell you what I think. I think he's a hack, and I think you're the best. You know?
Yeah. This was... This is my favorite one. Right here, some people like Beyonce. I like Jake Tapper. Take that, Hannity. Hashtag Jake Tapper is my Beyonce.
I guess I have to say, that hashtag didn't take off the way I thought it would. And I hold some of these people responsible.
I don't remember that being a trending hashtag.
Jake Tapper is my Beyonce. No. So it didn't work out the way I guess Mr. Hannity intended.
Yeah. Well, I think the problem is when you tell Fox News viewers to go to Twitter, there's a lot of questions as to where does that exist?
Because they're older.
Is that something?
They're older viewers.
Do I have to call Time Warner and order Twitter? is that on the package? And I think this is why there, when Barack Obama was in office, you received criticism from the left. Now with Trump in office, you're receiving criticism from the right. Is part of that you don't believe it's your job to parrot what a president is saying? And do you feel like right now we're seeing that a lot from media figures?
I feel like, yes. First of all, our job is to hold them accountable and hold them responsible and point out when they lie and point out when they say things that can't possibly be true and be aggressive. We're not supposed to be their friends. And, you know, it's pretty simple. And for 8 years, I was not President Obama's friend, and now I'm not President Trump's friend.
Yeah.
But I do. It's weird because a lot of people on the right in the media these days, first of all, I should point out, a lot of very intellectually honest conservatives that I see, like at the Weekly Standard, at the National Review. Mm-hmm. But then there are some people on the right in the media right that think it is somehow rebellious to be just displaying fealty and cozying up to power to the president. And it just seems so odd to me because it wasn't cool when people on the left did that to Obama, and it's not cool when people on the right do it to President Trump.
I agree with that. You also do something that we've talked about it before on the show, State of the Union. You also do State of the Cartoonian.
Yes.
Which is sort of the week's news via cartoons that you draw.
I'm a failed cartoonist.
You are a failed cartoonist.
Yeah.
I did not realize that cartooning in your younger days got you in trouble in high school. We tracked down a pretty good story about you.
So let me just preface this story by saying to my father, who's watching, I still don't think that it's good that I did this. I understand that I made a mistake. So I was one of the kids in high school that was kind of a wise guy.
Sure.
And so, you know, they have those ads in the yearbook, in the back of the yearbook. Remember Mad Magazine has the fold in?
Yeah.
So we had a fold.
You
fold it in. So it was this big ad from the Morgensterns of Wynwood congratulating the school on its 40th year, and it had 40th year in big letters. And when you folded it in, it became an appendage of that only men have.
Yeah.
And boys.
Yeah.
But this was definitely a man's.
Okay.
And it said, for all the BS, eat this.
Wow. And you had managed to do this in a way that was not, they did not recognize it until.
No, and I had some co-conspirators. I did it, and then I had some co-conspirators on the yearbook staff who
got it.
You know.
And how quickly were you found out?
The day of graduation.
Yeah. I guess that's the safest day to get out. Yeah.
But before we graduated.
Oh, so that's not great.
No. So we got punished, and we walked down the aisle. We got empty Naugahyde folders, and we had to do community service, and we had to apologize. Although our apology was great, it was before we even knew what a Washington, D.C. apology was, and we wrote one of those, like, I'm sorry if anybody was offended. You delicate creatures.
I actually saw that apology, and when you folded that in, it was also a
We thought about that.
Yeah, that would have been actually good. Thanks so much for being here, man. It's always such a pleasure to see you, and you got to come back soon.
Anytime.
Thanks, everybody. The Lead airs weekdays at 4 p.m. and State of the Union airs Sundays at 9 a.m. on CNN.
Hey, this is Henry from Late Night. I'm here with Jake Tapper, CNN. This is very exciting, Jake. You are the first guest to appear twice on the Late Night podcast.
It's an honor.
It's one of your best accomplishments.
It is the only. I'm going to redo my Wikipedia page.
Yeah, right that now. Right
just
to the top.
No, that's it.
Oh, that's it.
Just erase.
Okay, great.
Erase an ad. Yeah.
Great. People are going to think we did that.
Actually, probably I shouldn't suggest it because somebody's going to do it now.
Somebody's going to do it. Yeah, well.
Well, I can't do it.
You can't.
I'm
do it.
I'm like on my own.
And you're not suggesting other people do it.
No, people shouldn't do that. But they should. Yeah. And I'm not saying they should do it to Sean Hannity's page either.
100%.
No, definitely
not.
Or anyone.
That's right. All right. Let me ask you this: you talk to a lot of Republicans on your shows on the record. You also talk to them off the record.
Yes.
What's different when Republican politicians are off the record with you?
Off the record, they are a lot more curious about the state of the president's well-being, emotional well-being. You see, Senator Bob Corker, Republican from Tennessee, who's been a pretty decent supporter of the president's, said something a few weeks ago that kind of hints at it, although he phrased it cleverly. He said, it was after the whole Charlottesville mess, and he said that he didn't think President Trump had demonstrated the stability and competence in order to show that he could be a successful president. But the words stability and competence are really what spring out.
Yeah, of course.
Although he's not actually, if you read the sentence, he's not actually saying the president's not stable and the president's not competent. He's saying something else. But stability and competence were, you know, the words that really popped out at you, I think intentionally
right.
So. And you hear those words unvarnished more from Republicans off the record in Washington. They wonder, do you think, you know, what do you think's going on here?
We were talking earlier, you were saying that a lot of people in the Republican Party point to like Mattis, General Kelly, McMaster, as kind of stabilizing figures around Trump.
Yes.
How much work do they have to do? How hard is their job? Because ultimately Trump is their boss and he's pretty impulsive. He's got these instincts that they're now fighting against.
Yeah, I mean, I think they have a big job. General McMaster, who is still in the Army, is the National Security Advisor, and he had to feud not only on policy issues with people like Steve Bannon and others, but also, you know, there was a whole team of Bannon allies out there on the right and the alt-right and all that trying to attack him. Sometimes for legitimate policy differences, in which case, you know, have at it. But other times for going at him for, you know, being a tool of evil Jews or being a tool of the Muslim Brotherhood or whatever. And then, you know, retired General Kelly is the chief of staff and retired General Mattis is the secretary of defense. And I think all three of them are in it because they are patriots and they want the country to work and they want to make sure that this presidency is as successful as it can be, and I think that they have their hands full.
Right. Last thing I want to ask you is like a technical piece about doing your shows. You do a lot of shows during the week. There's an incredible amount of news. You were saying that the idea of pre-taping, talking to a guest maybe before the show airs, which is something we occasionally do here, you occasionally do on your shows, is now almost impossible with the amount of news that breaks at the pace it does.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, my executive producer, Federico, is here as well. We've talked about this any number of times that it's really tough to do pre-tapes. You do even like a pre-tape at 2 o'clock. We did one with Chris Christie once. You know, we'd set it up like 2 weeks ahead of time. And, you know, you don't know what's going to be happening that day. He comes in at 2. It's the only time he can do it. He's actually meeting with the president at 4 during my show, so I can't really complain. And in the 2 hours or in the hour between the show that we taped it and the show, Scaramucci got fired.
Incredible.
Or they announced it anyway.
Right.
And So, you know, all of a sudden you have this entire interview with Chris Christie in which the giant story of the day is not mentioned. So, you know, we dealt with it how we dealt with it. But it's really problematic, and we really don't like to do it anymore because this president creates, because he is so impulsive and because he tweets like he does and because so much, there's so much turnover and so much happening, and plus the investigations, it's almost impossible to pre-tape.
Yeah. Well, thank you for doing the shows you're doing. They're great. It's so great to have you here. Thanks so much,
Jake. Thank you.
Such a pleasure.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle at Late Night Seth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
What came first, the chicken or the egg? Spoiler alert, it's neither. At Happy Egg, we believe happiness of the hens is what actually came first, because without happy hens, there would be no such thing as happy eggs. You know, eggs with delicious orange yolks. Those come from hens who are raised the happy way on 8-plus acres of family-owned farms. Choose happy at happyegg.com and look for the yellow carton at a store near you.
Happy
Egg.